Up next on High Plains Morning, I'm so pleased to have live in the studio with me, the Shanes. We've got Vicky Shane and her granddaughter, Avina Shane, live in the studio. And they're here telling us about this fabulous little picture book that they put together together. And it is just charming. It's called Dairy Dragon Can't Go Home. Vicky and Avina, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
How you doing, Avina?
Good.
How's the hot cocoa?
Gone.
This kid's after my own heart. She walks in here, I offered some drinks, and she went with coffee. And I was like, I don't know if I can do it. So I'm very glad that you gulped that down. You got the energy. So Vicky, you composed this book. You're a local area author. And what was it that compelled you to want to write a kid's book?
My husband and I were custodial grandparents. And we found it very difficult to explain to the child why. And we know that there are a lot of various emotions that a grandparent goes through when they get a child. Everything changes. And we watched our grandchild go through a lot of hurt and anger and sadness and confusion, not understanding. And we wanted to do something that would provide some comfort and kind of a starting point for conversation for children in that situation.
And there are no shortage of children in that situation, so it must feel very isolating and lonely when it's happening to you. But then you look out and you look at the statistics, and it's rampant.
About 7.8 million children under the age of 18 are living with relatives other than their parents, and over 400,000 on a daily basis in foster care.
Yeah, it's something that we hear about quite a bit here in this region as well, all across the High Plains region. But obviously, that's just the U.S. numbers.
Correct.
Yeah.
And just those that are recorded.
Right. Exactly. And that could be something where, it's not reported if there's something going on until, external forces intervene.
Exactly.
So Dairy Dragon Can't Go Home. What about this particular, telling the story in this way? Tell folks a little bit about what the book is and how did you con her into doing all the beautiful illustrations for it?
Offered her money.
You could have done it with cocoa, obviously.
I think so. I should have been smarter than that. The book tells a story of a little dragon who has been removed from his home and is living with his granny. And she explains to him that his parents put something that wasn't good for them in their bodies. And that because of that, they're not in a position to make good decisions that will allow them to take good care of him. And she also explains that he's not alone, that there are lots of other kids in that situation. And one thing that made me very happy writing the book was that the first time Avina read it, she said to me, "Grandma, you need to add an epilogue." And I said, okay, what do I need to say in it? And she said, "You need to tell people that he's happy." And I said, "Oh, I think that I'll just say it's an afterword." And she said, "No, you have to say epilogue or they won't know what it is." So I did.
Clearly your granddaughter telling you need an epilogue.
Yes.
So one of my favorite parts of the book, which I just thought was gorgeous and touching, are the illustrations, and especially the illustrations where Dairy's very angry. Mm-hmm. When Dairy doesn't understand, why do I have to sleep here tonight? I slept here last night. I want to go home. I want out of here. Mm-hmm. And he's a little red dragon. He's kind of a little My Little Pony, looking dude. And he's just having a little fit. He's having a snit, I think they call it in the South.
Yes.
And kicking around and being all angry. And Grandma was like, "This is okay. You can get angry. This is fine. This is completely natural." And I just loved having that experience, having the dragon be able to cool out and experience those emotions.
They're perfectly normal emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. Avina, your little red dragon, Dairy, and the grandma, which kind of looks like a little Pete's dragon-y. We got some green and purple going on, and Dairy's a little chunk of red. What was it that made you want to draw those colors? Were those colors kind of important to you? Because they're very energetic colors, and I think they really, there's the calming presence of the grandma and the little hot red. You might not have even thought of that. You might have just liked those colors. But to me, the colors that you used in your illustrations really communicate who the characters are.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted, since green and The other colors kind of, for Granny, they just kind of looked calming to me, and the red and yellow look kind of angry, but they can also be like a loving colors, so I decided to put those in for their colors.
Absolutely, and I love that the bed sheet that they sit on together and have the conversation is a very energetic orange. It's almost like some serious discussion is going on right now.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I thought that was really fascinating to see how the story, it's very simple, and it's very, you know, I can't imagine, you know, someone not getting it. I mean, I love picture books. They just gave out all the Caldecott Award winners of these picture books. It's something that still touches people of all ages to have that image with the story. What was your target age range for this, given that the age range for this problem is so wide?
That's correct. And I'm thinking children probably from ages 2 to 8 fall into the category. But it depends sort of on the situation and on the maturity of the child.
Mm-hmm. It almost seems like you need a follow-up young adult novel to come on after.
Maybe so.
Maybe not dragons. Or maybe dragons. You could do kind of a young adult, speculative fiction.
There you go.
Tell us a little bit about your journey as becoming a custodial grandparent, what it is that you learned that you weren't aware of, that maybe a lot of our listeners aren't aware of when it comes to taking on that role.
One of the things that I think that we learned is that caring for a grandchild isn't quite like caring for your own children, because you're a whole lot older and don't have as much energy. But it requires all the same things. And the love you have for the grandchild just overrides everything else. Nothing else matters. And they just become the most important thing in your life. And now that she's gone home, boy, we miss her. there's a vacancy there.
Yeah. And have you found a support system in the Amarillo area for, you know, people in a situation like yours?
There is some. Not a lot. And there may be more than we know. Typically, small grandparent groups don't have websites, and so they're kind of hard to find.
Hear, hear.
But we had a lot of support from other family, from friends, from our church, from her school. Everybody was very supportive, both of us and of her.
And what about support group for Avina? Were there other kids involved? Like, was she able to interact with other kids that were going through similar things?
Is that a yes or no, Avina?
Sometimes I might run into somebody who their parents don't take good care of them, or they did go through something that they didn't like.
Well, then you can understand and empathize with them as someone who's also been through a struggle.
Yes.
And it just makes you nicer, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm so thrilled to see that this book is an option now for people to buy. There are topics in this world where, of all the books that are out there, there are some topics that just aren't broached very well. And this is one where I think that you really hit it, where I can't think of another book that really directly deals with this specific issue, a child removed and a grandparent taking care, and knowing how many there are out there, to have this as a conversation starter, I think is just so important. You're going to be doing a book signing. Tell us about that.
That's correct. We're going to be doing a book signing this Saturday, February 2nd, at the Burrowing Owl Bookstore on the square in Canyon, which is an absolutely darling bookstore. And it's going to be from 12 to noon. And we will also have a few posters of one of the drawings in the book. And then a week from Saturday, February the 9th, again from 12 to noon, till 2, at Chalice Abbey in Amarillo.
That's 12 to 2 at Chalice Abbey in Amarillo?
And 12 to 2 at Burrowing Owl.
Got it. Wonderful. Okay, so that's the 2nd in Canyon and on the 9th at Chalice Abbey in Amarillo.
That's right.
Now, this isn't your first book.
No.
Tell us a little bit about your previous, you had a novel.
I did. The novel's called Inherit the Texas Earth. It's set in Dalhart during the 1930s Dust Bowl era.
That's so right on the nose with High Plains yes. Public Radio listening region.
And it will be available at the book signings as well.
Fabulous. Now, Avina, are you going to go with to the book signing?
Yes.
Wonderful. Are you going to do like on-demand illustrations?
Probably not.
Okay, good. That's excellent. I was going to say, don't you dare. You charge for that. You're a skilled artist. You need a freelance rate. We'll talk. I'm trying to become her agent here. I'll ply you with coffee, candies, and cocoa. Well, I am so proud of both of you for putting this together. I think there's such a need for it, and I think this issue is something that we always hear about, and we hear about it so much in our regional news coverage. We all hear about the foster care system and all this, and you know, foster care obviously comes when there's not a family member that can step up to the plate. And it's such a beautiful, you know, sacrifice to be able to, nope, you're covered, I got you. Someone's here in the family to take care of you. Beautiful.
It was a privilege.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, thank you, Vicki and Avina Shane, for coming into the studio and addressing this and this beautiful book. Folks, I'll post about when you can come out and see the signing and check out the book and meet these two in Canyon and in Amarillo in February. So both of you, high fives, air high fives. We can't quite reach each other. Avina, high five. And how do you feel about another cup of cocoa? Or you think you're okay?
Yeah.
You think you're okay? Good. That's good choices. She's the best. She's my favorite.
She is.
She's my favorite. All right. I'm going to play a song that I think is just perfectly celebratory of what it is to have home. Here's Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros with Home on High Plains Morning.
All over the place, and I rushed you out to the hospital. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Well, something I never told you about that night.
What did you tell me?
While you were sitting in the back seat smoking a cigarette you thought was gonna be your last, I was falling deep.